You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to you if you are a visitor here. And I know we have visitors here because it's a special day for us because Alex Todd is getting baptised this morning, and therefore I know that there are a wider family and godparents here to witness Alex's baptism. We've only got one person being baptised, and that is Alex. So we want to be very supportive of him this morning. But let me say that if God's word reminds in Luke 15 that when one sinner repents, they have a party in heaven over one. So we can have a party here, can't we? For one person who's going to stand up and say that they've turned from their sin, that they're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So welcome to you if you're with us with the baptism party, so to speak. Warm welcome to you if you're with us just for the first time from Buxton or a surrounding village. We love to welcome people here at Trinity. We love to encourage people to find out what the good news of Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord is all about. We love it when people come with questions, maybe wanting to think things through. Welcome to you. We pray that you feel very much at home in our morning service here. Phil Selby is going to be preaching later on this verse, so I'm not going to say too much. I'm going to read it out and pick out one thing. So look at this great verse, a couple of verses from Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, we are in him. It's an extraordinary expression. We're in him. We're united to him. You can't get any closer to God this morning than to be in Christ, united to Christ, and rejoicing. We want to be those who are rejoicing in him and overflowing with thankfulness for all his grace and mercy and extraordinary loving kindness to us, because we are sinners, but God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, loves to save, to rescue sinners back into relationship with him. That's what our baptism service is all about. We have a new life in Christ, and that's what Alex is going to be celebrating in a moment. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing an opening song, "When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that when one sinner repents, that you have a party in heaven, because one sinner who repents and trusts Jesus as Saviour and Lord is so precious to you. We thank you for that reminder that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd to come looking for sheep that were lost. We thank you for the extraordinary sacrifice that he made in taking human flesh, living a life on this earth, and then dying on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. We thank you so much for the extraordinary, amazing grace and mercy and loving kindness that we receive through Christ and in Christ. So we ask our Heavenly Father that this morning's service would be a great celebration of all that the Lord Jesus Christ means to us and means to Alex. We thank you for the new life that we receive in Christ and through Christ. And please may it be a reminder of what it means to continue with Jesus as Lord of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing and celebrate. Now, in a moment, we're going to hear God's word read. And after that, Alex is going to come up here and give us his testimony. I'm going to, after that, ask him some questions. After that, we're going to go outside. If I forget to say it then, can we make sure when we do go outside to the baptismal pool, which is outside around the back here, that little people and those I was going to say older people. I'm going to say older people. If you want to get close to the front so you can see, and those who are fit and young and agile can scale the walls and go at the back and do whatever, all right? But we do want those who might find it harder to see at the front, if I forget to say that. But we're going to have our reading. I think Laura Huxford's going to come and bring it to us. Is Laura here? She is. She's right there, right in front. Sorry, Laura. It's page 1183, page 1183, Colossians 2. And Laura will announce it again. She won't start till she can't hear any rustling pages.
Okay, so we're reading Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Again, that's on page 1183. Just then, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
I'm going to ask Alex to come up. Alex, if you'd like to come up, and he's going to give his testimony.
Hello, I'm Alex, and I've been coming to Trinity for about 13 years. I'd say that I've been a Christian for many years now, though I couldn't pinpoint a day or even a year I became a Christian. I've been fortunate enough to be brought up in a family with parents who want to teach God's word accurately and faithfully. From an early age, I've always had a pretty good understanding of who Jesus was, why he came, and how great his love is. This is because I've grown up surrounded by scripture. As a family, we would often read parables and Bible stories before bed. And when I was really young, Habakkuk was occasionally used to send me to sleep. When we were older, before we started reading, we would badly act out the titles of Bible passages for the rest of the family to guess. I do have a memory of once at church when I was about 9 and realised after the service that I couldn't think of a time when I'd started being a Christian. I thought that as I had never asked Jesus to come into my life, he may not be with me. However, after I asked him, I felt no different, so figured that it hadn't worked and should try again later. Now, I understand there doesn't need to be a definitive point in time where I started being a Christian, as Romans 10 verse 9 shows me that I was already saved. In Romans, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I know that as far as spiritual growth goes, reading Christian literature has broadened my understanding more than anything else, as many books have helped me to look at issues from different perspectives. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is a challenging and unique book, which made me think differently about certain concepts and look at morality as evidence of a creator, as well as the issue of sin and how God feels about it. The Case of Christ is another excellent book, which looks at some of the biggest questions Christianity faces. Other books, like The Hiding Place and The Cross and the Switchblade, show the incredible power of the gospel and how God still performs miracles, even if it's less obvious at first glance. In Luke 9:23, it says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily." In the past, I was typically tended to be particularly bad at taking up my cross daily. I could do it on Sundays and at camps, but during the week I would tend to drift away and forget about God. However, reading a small passage from Psalms every night before bed has helped me a lot to keep God in mind and live a more Christ-centered life at school. At school, I've faced several difficulties with people who ask challenging questions about Christianity an attempt to try and irritate me and find flaws in what I believe. In year 11, philosophy and ethics almost always turned into a class debate about Christianity, which was sometimes overwhelming. However, I did occasionally find encouragement after a good friend started asking serious questions. I eventually ended up lending him Reasonable Faith by William Lane Craig, which led him to understand the ontological argument. He eventually concluded that it philosophically cheats when it goes about proving the existence of God. I've really benefited from all the camps I've been on. Casterton, Maidwell, New World Alive, and Ignite Weekends Away have all been great encouragements for meeting up with other Christians. The teaching has helped to reinforce and build on some of the principles of Christianity that I've grown up with. And the latest weekend away with the Ignite Youth Group, I was encouraged whilst we were looking at the book of Jonah. Jonah had literally tried to run from God, but God still loved him and looked after him. Dissecting the book of Jonah helped me understand Romans 5:8 a bit more. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I find this passage reassuring, as when I sin and shy away from what I know I should do, afterwards I feel I need to win back God's favour by being a better person. This verse reminds me that I'm as helpless to save myself as Jonah was when he was inside the fish. There is nothing I can do to win God's favour. And the verse shows that there isn't any need for me to. God loved me so much, he died whilst I was still a sinner. Today I'm getting baptised. I'm doing this to confirm that I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Saviour and Lord. Some people may think I'm getting baptised to stop Bob and my parents from nagging me. That is not the main reason. After being a Christian for several years now, I've experienced trials and challenges and have been made stronger and more confident because of them. So I feel now I'm ready to publicly proclaim that I'm wholeheartedly following Jesus and ready to take up my cross every day for him.
So I'm going to ask him one or two questions. He talked about that verse which says, if you believe in your heart and profess with your lips, here are some questions just to, if you like, underline that. We don't really need them, but it's what we do in the Church of England is ask questions and get people to respond formally. So in baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvellous light. To trust and follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask you, Alex, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate you from God and neighbour and lead rightly to God's judgment?
I repent of them.
Do you trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour?
I trust Jesus Christ as my Saviour.
Do you submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord?
I submit to Jesus Christ as my Lord.
Do you follow Jesus Christ, the way, the truth and the life?
I follow Jesus Christ by obeying him as my Saviour and Lord.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you to profess together the faith of the church, if you'd like to respond. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I want to say this at this stage. One of the things when we have a baptism is we always tell people when the next one is going to be, and it's going to be in September. So if you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord and not baptised, then do come and have a word, and we'll put you in that date. It's on the back, September the 17th, there in September. But I'm going to ask this to everybody here, to those who are baptised. I think we should all respond to this. Can I say that if you are trusting Christ and you're not baptised, Do answer to this and then come and have a word with me and Phil and say, I'd like to get baptized in September. This is just a reminder when we're baptized. We're raised to new life and we want to follow Christ as Lord. So to all those who are baptized, this is anticipation, Alex, of your baptism in just a few minutes, all right? All those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. Please respond along with Alex to the following questions. Will you persevere in loving and serving the Lord Jesus, growing in knowledge and likeness of him? With the help of God, I will. Will you persevere in prayer to your Heavenly Father, asking for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done? With the help of God, I will. Will you proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? With the help of God, I will. Will you do the good works that God has prepared for you to do? With the help of God, I will. Will you continue to meet regularly with God's people, to be eager, to be taught God's word, to pray together, to break bread, all the time making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit amongst God's people? With the help of God, I will.
Well, do have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 2 on page 1183. Yeah, so page 1183. We're looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6. No, sorry, verses 8. No, we are verses 6. Verse 6 to 15. I have prepared the right passage, don't worry, even if I can't tell you about it. There's also a handout that you should have got in your paperwork this morning. Now, advertisers are paid to make us want more, aren't they? To want the next best and big thing and to be dissatisfied with what we have. And they do a great job at it, don't they? They are very persuasive and they do make their products appealing. And they make you want things that you never really realised you wanted before you saw them. Now, last year, I'm told that the best advert, the most well-loved advert in 2016, was the kittens advert from McVitie's. I don't know if you've seen that one. Well, if you haven't, you're just about to. So, eyes on the screen. Here we go. Ah, there we go. I don't know. Anyone remember that one?
Yes.
Hands up. Yes? Yeah, good, good. Now, I know that McVitie's chocolate digestives are not exactly cutting edge, or kind of the next best thing that you've never seen before. But the video is effective, isn't it? If you use a cute and cuddly animal like a kitten, it's going to be memorable. Now, in today's talk, I am not trying to sell you anything. In fact, I'm probably not going to be introducing you to anything new. No, the point of today's sermon is to encourage you to keep on keeping on with what you already have. I'm kind of going to want to do the opposite of what an advertising campaign tries to do. I want you to see that if you're a Christian, trusting and living with Jesus as your Lord, what you already have is amazing and that you don't need anything else. So let's pray for God's help as we come to his word this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this special day and thank you for your great goodness and mercy towards us in Jesus. Please help us to see all that you have done for us in him today and help us to commit to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. Help us by your Holy Spirit to do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did you notice in that video that we saw, it was a guy starting off at uni and his mum had given him the biscuits to help him get off to a good start, you know, to kind of win friends, if only if it was that easy. Now, maybe in a year or two, whatever Alex decides, Alex might start uni. What advice would you give to him or anyone else for that matter who's looking for a new church to attend whilst they're going to uni? Or, picture this situation, I want to introduce you to Dora. Okay, she's been going along to her local church for 22 years. Okay, this is a church that faithfully teaches the Bible as God's word, and which has discipled Dora over the years. Dora has been active in serving in lots of different ways over the years, and she loves Jesus, and she wants to make him known. but she's often had questions about assurance and how sure she is if she's doing the right thing. And she has a friend, Doris. Okay, now Doris has recently joined a new church that has started in her town, and she won't stop talking about it. Now, they don't really seem to use the Bible much, but Doris' friend Doris doesn't seem to be too worried. She says how she really feels like she meets with God each week, that there's a real atmosphere for worship, and she has a fuller experience of meeting God. She says to Dora that she must come. She too must come and experience what she experiences, and that she's not really living as a proper Christian unless she does. Dora is tempted. She's intrigued. She's got questions. Of course she has. What should she do? Maybe going to this new church will help her feel more secure. And often the grass can look greener on the other side, can't it, when you see what other churches do? Or back to our original question, when visiting churches, when starting at a uni, what should Alex or other new students look for? Well, our passage today can help Dora. Actually, it can help Doris. It can help Alex. It can help anyone looking for a church. In fact, it can help us all, whether we're looking for a new church or not. So we're going to dive in and we're going to have a look. And we looked at Colossians just over a year ago at church here. And if you remember, Colossians is written to a group of Christians in a place called Colossae. And those Christians were already mature. So have a look in your Bibles, down to chapter 2, verse 5, just the verse before we had our passage today. It says this, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." So maybe they were a bit like Doris. No, Dora. Oh, I should have chosen different names, shouldn't I? Anyway, they were in danger from false teachers, these Christians in Colossae, okay? They were in danger from people who want to lead them away from the truth about Jesus, which would result in them wrecking their faith. So this is important stuff. It matters if you move away from the truth about Jesus. So these Colossians, they were being offered new and exciting things. And we too, let's be honest, like good advertising, are often tempted by new and exciting things, aren't we? So what should we do? Well, I've been praying that from our time together this morning, you will be really convinced that what we should do as Christians is to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. Keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. In fact, Paul is very clear what we should do. And he tells us in verses 6 to 8 of our passage what we should do. And then he gives us the reasons why in verses 9 to 15. So kind of follow it on your handout. We're going to start by thinking what we should do in verses 6 to 8. So let's take a look. Verse 6. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." What does Paul say the Colossian church should do? In the face of false teaching, he says they should keep on keeping on with Jesus as Lord. Verse 6, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Paul's saying there's no need to look elsewhere. The Colossian Christians, they don't need any new revelation or new experience. No, they're to continue to live in Christ. Now, what does it mean for Christ to be Lord? Because it says it there, doesn't it? Well, for Christ to be Lord, it means for him to be your master. When you become a Christian, you acknowledge that you're no longer in control of your life. And instead of living with yourself as number one, you give that position to Jesus. He is Lord. It means it's Jesus who says what's okay and what's not okay. It's Jesus who sets your standards, your priorities. But this isn't a negative thing. It's actually how we were meant to live. And we know from the whole Bible story how great a master, how loving a master Jesus is. And to have Jesus as your Lord is to have him as your master, as your boss, as the one who's got a greater authority over your life than you do. And that's a big thing. We'll find out why we should do that in verses 9 to 15. And there's loads of great reasons. But we are to continue to live with Jesus as Lord, as your number one, as your master, as your boss, and also as your king. You see, to live with Jesus as Lord isn't like you're just handing things over to a mate or someone who's equal to you. No. You see, another name for Jesus is the King of Kings. For Jesus to be your Lord, you're also acknowledging that he's over you because he's superior to you. He's God himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul's encouragement is to keep on keeping on, to continue to live in him, just as the Colossians received Christ as Lord. So, Christian, here this morning, whether you feel a bit like Dora or not, keep on keeping on with Christ as your Lord. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. And where it says in him, it's painting a really rich picture of how when we become Christians, our lives are kind of hidden with Christ in God. And Paul explains this just over the page in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. So if you just flick over just one page, Colossians 3, verse 3 says this, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." You see, when we become a Christian, which is what Alex is testifying to publicly today, that he is a Christian, that he wants to live with Christ as Lord. When you become a Christian, the Bible describes it as though we die. We die to ourselves. We stop ourselves being the boss, and we live instead with Christ as Lord, as I've just explained. When we do that, our lives are hidden with Christ as Lord. And it's a really beautiful picture. And it means that when God sees us, he sees his perfect son, Jesus. And without getting too complicated, this is good news because it means that when God sees us, he no longer sees our sin. So friends, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. And then Paul goes on in verse 7, so back again to page 1183. Verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Paul explains how our faith in Jesus as Lord is solid. In the first part of verse 7, he uses two pictures, kind of rooted and built up. Now, rooted trees, they are solid, aren't they? They are not easily moved. I don't know if you've ever tried to dig a tree out in your garden and get the whole thing out. Even small fruit trees can be hard because the roots, they spread out so widely, don't they? Imagine trying to dig out completely a huge, well-established tree. It wouldn't be easy because it's rooted. Similarly, buildings are sturdy and they don't come down easily. Just ask anyone who's tried to break up a solid slab of concrete. It's hard, it's difficult, it's energy-sapping work. Paul is saying we're to continue to live in Jesus Christ our Lord, rooted and built up, basically solid in the faith, not moved easily. That means we're not going to be easily sidetracked or tempted by new ideas or developments. Just don't move on simply from trusting in Jesus as Lord. And the next, Paul says, kind of strengthened in the faith. And there's a legal element to that word, strengthened. It's not easy to change legal documents, is it? You can't just flip about and change your mind if you've written your will. It takes a bit of work to change it. Our faith in Jesus is secure. It's legally binding. We don't need anything else because we're already hidden in Christ. We're secure. So don't look to other places for your security, for new experience or for ideas. Friends, let's keep on keeping on with Christ as your Lord. Now you might think that that's a dull, boring message. But actually, it's life-changing and it's freeing. Because look at the result of it at the end of verse 7. We'll be overflowing with thankfulness. And the picture here is of like a wine jug just overflowing, going everywhere, making a right mess. Because there's no way you can keep all the wine in. And that's how we should be with our thanks. Now, I know that's not often how we feel, but if we are Christians, we have loads to be thankful for. So much that we should be overflowing with thankfulness. And the next few verses are going to tell us why we should be so thankful, why we should be overflowing with thankfulness. And it's exciting stuff. But before we get to it, in verses 9 to 15, there's a warning for us in verse 8. So just look at that. Verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Here there's a big warning. We're to keep on keeping with Christ as Lord, and we're to guard against anything that is going to take us away from that keeping on. So anything that discourages us from continuing to trust in Christ as Lord is dangerous for us. So, by implication, any other faith system or belief system or religion that doesn't acknowledge Christ Jesus as Lord is, as Paul says, hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. Now, that's a big claim to make, but it must be true. That's why it's so encouraging when we see someone taking a stand and acknowledging Christ as Lord and encouraging us to do the same. So that's what we should be doing. We should be keeping on with Christ as Lord and guarding against anything that is against us doing that. Now in verses 9 to 15, it shows us why we should keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord, as we're reminded of, or maybe learn for the first time, some amazing things that Jesus has done for us. So, why we should do it? Look down at verses 9 to 10. It says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." These are amazing words. And it's one of the reasons why we should be overflowing with thankfulness and why we should keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. You see, we're reminded who Jesus Christ is. He's fully God. Did you notice that? He's not just kind of one third of God or a bit of God on the side that's come to earth. No, he's fully God, we're told. It says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." That's an amazing description of who Jesus is. And it means it's really important how we react to him. And that's why here at Trinity we're so passionate about introducing people to Jesus. Because he's fully God. Come down to earth to reveal himself to us. Not just is Jesus fully God, but he's given us fullness in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that if we're continuing to live in him with Christ Jesus as Lord, we've been given everything that we need. We're not lacking anything that we need spiritually. We have fullness. We're not lacking experience or assurance in feelings. Nothing. It's saying that we've been given fullness of forgiveness. We've been given fullness of assurance. We've been given fullness of new life. We've been given fullness of justification. We've been given fullness of redemption. Loads of stuff. It's great news. And it's great to be reminded of. We can keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord because we've been given everything that we need. Fullness in Christ. What a gift. And then look down to verses 11 and 12. It says, "In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead." These verses are really rich. In verse 11, we've got the picture of circumcision, haven't we, which in the Old Testament was a covenant sign of belonging to God's people. It was a cutting off. And in verse 11, we see that when we continue to live in him with Jesus Christ as our Lord, our sinful nature has been cut off, circumcised, if you like, by Christ. And one of the things baptism reminds us of is kind of having a bath, isn't it? Being cleaned. We see that here. Our sinful nature is cut off. It's taken away. It's like it's cleaned away from us. Yeah, we still sin, don't we? And we battle with sin. But remember from a couple of minutes ago, our lives are now hidden with Christ. God no longer sees our sin. Rather, he sees Christ's righteousness. That is a brilliant transfer. That's one of the reasons why we should keep on keeping on. But we see more in verse 12, don't we? Alex's baptism just then is also a reminder of Alex's death. Because when we trust Christ, remember, it's like we die to ourselves and we acknowledge Jesus as our master instead of ourselves. Alex's and all of our baptisms, for those of us who've been baptized, remind us of our death. That's like what going down in the water reminds us of. But Alex's baptism also reminds us of his birthday. This is a good day. Look at verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism isn't only a picture of being buried, it's also a picture of being raised to new life, isn't it? We didn't leave Alex in the water. Phew. It's a picture of new life, of living with this new master of life as it was designed to be. This is true for all of us who are living with Christ Jesus as Lord. God is powerful, and he demonstrates his power to us by raising Jesus to life. We're going to be thinking more about that at Easter, aren't we? And because we are hidden with Christ, we too will be raised to new life. That's why we can keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. Those are all great reasons, but there's more. Look at verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. You see, not only is baptism a sign of our cleansing, like a bath, our death to sin, our birthday, new life, baptism is also a picture of a wedding. So it's like Alex is married. For those of us who are trusting Christ as Lord, it's like we're married to him. We're joined to him. We belong to him. And in verse 13, we see how for those who are trusting Christ as Lord, we've been made alive with Christ. We are with him. We are joined to him. We belong to him. We were dead in our sins, but now we've been made alive in Christ. The difference is that stark, from dead to alive. That's another reason why we should keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord, because of the massive transformation that has happened. It's as extreme as it gets from dead to alive, isn't it? And we see and are reminded that all of our sins have been forgiven. Like, not just some of them, just the little piddly ones. No, all of them. How? Well, we're told in verse 14 and 15. So we'll pick up from the end of verse 13. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelling the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. How were our sins forgiven? It's through Jesus' death on the cross for us. It's amazing. And as Jesus kept the whole law, and the law that showed us to be guilty, Jesus took that away, nailing it to the cross. He took away the burden of following the law because he followed it completely. And not only that, Jesus proved that everything he did and said was true by coming back to life again after 3 days. That's how he disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, by triumphing over the cross. By coming back to life, Jesus proved that he can forgive us all our sins. So friends, don't look anywhere else for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't look to other religions, to other worldviews. Don't look to your own performance, to spirituality or anything else. Look to Jesus. Because if you do, you can find life, forgiveness, and belonging to him. Just like we've been celebrating with this baptism today. Now what about Deodora? What should she do? Well, she should keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as she has been taught, and overflowing with thankfulness because she's got fullness in Christ. She's been cleaned. Her sinful nature has been removed. She's died, living now with Christ as her master. She's got new life. She's been raised from the dead. And she belongs to her new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. She doesn't need anything new, does she? Friends, don't be tempted away by new experiences, new teaching, those who promise things that the Bible doesn't. Just look what you already have. Keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. And when looking for a new church, if you're ever in that situation, look for one that is going to encourage you to grow in Christ. One that will encourage you to simply keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. That's how life's meant to be lived, and it's a beautiful thing. Dora should be encouraging Doris to be doing the same thing. And that's what we all need to encourage each other to keep doing, to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. So maybe you're a stay-at-home mum who often finds it really hard and find your children often do your nutting. Can I encourage you to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord? Or maybe you're plodding on in a job that you don't particularly enjoy and wish it was different. Maybe your job is something you don't find exciting and that you don't look forward to doing. Can I encourage you to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord, acknowledging all that he has done for you? It's massive and it's great. And he can equip you, even in that hard situation, to be overflowing with thankfulness. Keep on keeping on. Or maybe you're in the situation where you're caring for an elderly relative. Maybe it's one of your parents. It's a draining job. It's difficult. It's sad. What should you do? Please, keep on keeping on with Christ as your Lord. It's not dramatic. It's not revolutionary. It's not crazy. It's simple. But it's the best way to approach the challenges of life. Or maybe you feel like you're not going anywhere in your Christian life. Things feel dry. Quiet times are a slog, if you do one at all. You don't feel like you're growing. You just feel like you're clinging on. What does this passage tell us? It tells you to keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. Friend, if that's you, strength to your arm. Keep on keeping on. Well, whatever situation you're in, friends, if you've received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And if you've not yet received Christ as Lord, can I encourage you to do so even today? And enjoy for yourself all the blessings we've spoken of today, of having fullness with Christ and your sins forgiven, being made alive in him. Let's all keep on keeping on with Christ as Lord. Let's pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple yet revolutionary way of life presented to us in today's passage. Please would you help all your people here this morning to be diligent in keeping on with you as our Lord. Please help us as a church to be overflowing with thankfulness and for what you have done for us. And we pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.